This is your friend John Walden. Join us in our Bible study. We're in Philippians, beginning now at chapter 3 and verse 1. The book of Philippians is a wonderful little epistle, often called the servant's epistle. It's a very humble little epistle. I mean to this, it speaks of humility a great deal. It exhorts to humility. It leads anyone who wants to serve the Lord to see what a low place he must take. We notice this especially in chapter 2. In chapter 2, we have some of the friends of the Lord and of his people. Now in chapter 3, we have some of their enemies. And it begins, finally, my brethren. Now this doesn't mean that he's going to give the final word, but the revised version says, as for the rest. This will cover all the rest, all the other things that I need to say to you. Rejoice in the Lord. Notice he does not say, rejoice in the law. Some of these people have been disturbed by the Judaizers, those connected with the nation of Israel, who were going around teaching law-keeping, teaching them that they must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, or else they wouldn't stay saved. And so he says, I want you to rejoice in the Lord. When my father first became a Christian, a Scotch brother said to him, Willie, what do you think of that scripture that says, rejoice in the Lord always? Well, he said, I suppose it depends a lot on circumstances. Ah, no, he says, you missed it. It doesn't say rejoice in the circumstances. You can't always do that. But it says rejoice in the Lord. We can always be glad in him. Now, to write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. That is, I know that it's necessary to give you these warnings. And I'm not grieved over having to do it, because I know that there are difficulties. I know there are problems. I know there are enemies. And so he says in verse 2, beware of dogs. Now, the word dogs in the scripture doesn't carry the same thought that when we speak today of dogs, we consider them as pets. But dogs in those days were half wild. They were more like wolves. They ran in packs, and it was something to watch out for. This is used of the unsaved in gathering against the Lord Jesus. He speaks of the bulls of Bashan. Those were the Jewish leaders. And then he says, the dogs have compassed me about. These were the Gentile, fierce, hating enemies of the Lord. We still have them today. There are people in the world today who would put all Christians to death if they dared. They would take everything that is Christian away from us if they could. Then he said, beware of them. Beware of evil workers. Evil workers tells us that these people are working all right, but they're working for evil. They're hypocrites. They're not truthfully exalting the Lord Jesus. They're trying to build up their own particular interests. And the concision is a word that means literally the mutilators. It has to do with the custom of circumcision among the Jews. Now he said, circumcision has lost its meaning because Judaism has come to an end. When the Lord Jesus came, this should have been the answer to all the Old Testament prophets. The Jews should have recognized him as their Messiah and received him. Instead of that, they hold on to their old Jewish religion and to circumcision, which is a mark of the covenant made in the Old Testament. Yet if they would read their Old Testament scriptures, they would see that a new covenant has been brought in through the Lord Jesus, and you and I are blessed under the new covenant. For we are the circumcision. We who? Well, those who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I want you to notice those three things. To worship God in the Spirit does not mean to go through the rigmarole, through the ritual of some church. If you worship God in the Spirit, this means that you have been born of the Spirit of God. It means that you are going according to the Word of God. And you rejoice in Christ Jesus. You do not rejoice in your own good works. You're not happy because you think that you've earned a place in heaven. But your joy is in the risen Savior. And have no confidence in the flesh. But you say, am I not supposed to have a little self-confidence? How could you? What is there about you, apart from the Lord's power and strength, What is there about you in which you could have confidence? Now he says, I might have confidence. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he proceeds to tell us in the next three verses something about his own history. Now this is the history of natural religion. This is the history of a man who has gone through the ritual, who has done all the things which a religious body prescribes. Now, maybe I'm speaking to some like that just now. Notice that he was circumcised the eighth day. This means that his parents were careful, godly Jews. He is of the stock of Israel. That is, he was not a Samaritan, a half-breed, partly connected with Israel. He was certainly not of the Edomites or the Arabic tribes. He belonged to Israel, not Esau. He was born in the right family. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, this was a small tribe, but a highly honored tribe because the first king came from Benjamin, and Benjamin was often associated with blessings, so he said, I come from the right tribe, too. Then he said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. That is, I was not one who had lived, whose parents had lived down in the Babylon in some foreign country until the children had forgotten how to speak Hebrew. Not a Hellenistic Jew, but a true Hebraic Jew. A Jew who was brought up in the strong tradition of the Hebrews. And as touching the law, a Pharisee. Not a Sadducee. The Sadducees did not believe, or did not believe, they were the leading people in the days when the Lord Jesus was put to death. The high priest belonged to that party. They did not believe in the inspiration of the scriptures. They did not believe in a resurrection. They did not believe in the existence of angels or spirits. They were the, they were the liberals, the modernists of that day. They claimed to believe the Bible, but they did not. Someone has said that's why they were sad, you see. Now the Pharisees, on the other hand, with all of their hypocrisy, were actually the fundamentalists. They believed the Bible to be true. They held to the fundamentals. They were the old line. And then, concerning zeal, he said, I was persecuting the church. Is this a commendation? Why, of course, it was a great commendation for a Jew. The Apostle Paul spent his time trying to root out what he considered to be an evil doctrine, the teaching about the Lord Jesus. He went out hailing men and women and committing them to prison. He was the one who was the chief witness in the putting to death of the first martyr, Stephen. He did all this because he was zealous. Some people tell us it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Isn't that stupid? Why, of course it matters. What you believe must be true. If it isn't true, you're deceived. This man was deceived. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Notice he does not say sinless, he says blameless. That is, outwardly, no one was able to point a finger at him and say, you stole something, or you did this wrong or that wrong. No one was able to point a finger at him. His life was blameless. Now notice how verse 7 starts. But this is the disjunctive. This is the thing that turns you about face. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, what is a good birth plus a good citizenship plus a good education plus a good religion plus a good position plus a good character minus Christ? What is it? That's worse than nothing. It's in the loss column, in the debit column. He said, I counted them loss for Christ. I counted the whole thing as a terrible mistake. Have you spent your whole life trying to be religious, but still rejecting Christ? Notice what he says in verse 7, I counted, this is in the past tense, but in verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count, I still do, in the present tense. I count these things to be nothing. I count them to be loss. I count that my whole life was wasted because I was simply a religious man without trusting the Lord Jesus. There is a difference in being religious and in being truly born again. What about you? Well, you say, I believe I have received Christ as my Savior, but I think that these other things count too. Ah, but don't you see that you are making light of the finished work of Christ if you think that you need to add any of your little puny works to it? Salvation is not the blood of Christ and something else. It is the precious blood of Christ and nothing else, and nothing less, and nothing more. The sacrifice of Christ plus nothing. Well, you say, don't you believe in good works? Of course I do. But good works are only done to show that I love the Lord and are never to count as any part of my salvation. Notice he says in verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want to know the Lord better. Yea, doubtless is an expression that indicates strong emotion. And the word for knowledge here is knowledge based on experience gained by intimate association. He said, I want to spend time in the Lord's presence and get to know him better because he is my Lord. Now, it's one thing to know him as the Lord. It's quite another thing to know him as my Lord. The Lord Jesus is a Savior. He is the only Savior. But is he your Savior? And if he is your Savior, is he your Lord? Your Lord. This is what he wishes to be. And if he is this in your life, you'll have a happy life, as did the Apostle Paul. Now let's look to the Lord with thanksgiving. Our Father, we thank thee for sending thy Son to be our Savior. We thank thee for what he endured, that we might be thine. And we thank thee now for the privilege of speaking of him and of reading his word. We pray that you bless it to all those who have shared it with us just now. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus.